I have had, well, a lot of things on my mind and heart by way of this thought. But I've been thinking a lot about God's people being in particular situations for a purpose. And those situations can be different each time. And the purpose can be different. And I started thinking about Joseph. I started thinking about it after I had preached just a little bit on Abraham and the sacrifice of his son Isaac and how he was feeling to be in that situation, to be going up the mountain, you remember, and to have it in his mind and heart that he's fixing to offer up his son. Well, his grandson, Jacob, we know that Jacob is Israel. He is the head of the 12 tribes. He is the father of the 12 sons, or the heads of Israel. It is through Jacob. And he has a son by the name of Joseph. And the Bible says in chapter 37, let's just begin reading in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. You think about that. His father, Isaac and Abraham, strangers to this land. But it was the land God gave to them. They came from Ur. Abraham was from the land. If my mind serves me correctly, Abraham, you remember God told Abraham, get out. This wasn't his land, but he came into the land that became the land of Israel, the land of Jacob, the land of Isaac, the land of Abraham's family. When you say the land of Israel, you're talking about the 12 sons of Jacob. And you're talking about Jacob himself. God called him Israel. He was Israel. So he's dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph told his father the evil things his brothers were getting into. Now, Israel, or Joseph, loved Joseph more than all his children. Can you imagine what that did to them. It didn't make them want to, their father's love like he loved Joseph. It should have. They were angry that he loved Joseph more. And the only reason that we read up until this point that he would have loved Joseph more is because of their evil report. The evil in their lives, the things that they were getting into. Here they are in the land of Canaan. This is a godless place until God's people makes it not so. This is the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and the Amorites, all of these different tribes of people that did not know God, that worship false gods, they're dwelling in that land. And so Joseph is watching them. And so Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, could he help it that he dreamed the dream? Regardless of what you dream, you can't help that you dreamed it. When you lay down and go to sleep and your body goes into deep sleep, you can't help what you dream. It's not like you being awake and a thought enters your mind and you can exit that thought out of your mind through prayer or, through the Word. You're dreaming. So he couldn't help this dream. He didn't give himself this dream. This dream came from somewhere. But they hated him. Yet the more. He said unto them, in verse 6, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" Well, they could see the interpretation of that. "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" I'm just telling you is what I dreamed. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You know, Jacob knew, he should know enough about how the younger can sometimes be given the blessing over the older. Wasn't it Jacob who received Esau's blessing? His older brother? So he is watching. His father observed the saying. I want to see what happens here. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, this is Jacob again, the spiritual man, Israel. When God speaks of him as Jacob, most of the time, it's his carnal self. When he speaks of him as Israel, it's his covenant man. It's his spiritual man. Should be. God made him Israel. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now this is what Joseph had been doing all along, giving his father reports on his brethren. And so far, they'd been evil reports. So here, Israel, or Jacob, sending his son out again. Go tell me. Tell me what's if it's well with them. Verse 15, and a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. You know, I'm wondering why they weren't where they were supposed to be. Were they trying to hide from him? So that Father wouldn't find out the report from them, but either way, when they saw him coming, to hate him enough that 11 of them would say, let's kill him. Let's kill him. Hatred. Hatred is an evil thing. Hatred is a vile thing. And when it gets in a man's heart towards somebody, that's why the Lord said, you know, if you hate a brother without it, it's like murder. Murder. That's how strong hate is and how vile it is. It will produce murder. Their hate and their chastising brought them to the place where they were talking of killing him. They conspired against him to slay him. Now this is a great picture of the Pharisees and scribes conspiring against our Lord to slay him. They hated him without a cause. What had Joseph really done to them up until this point? Nothing more than his father Israel had asked him to do. Watch over his brethren. Take account of their actions. And report back. That's it. And he dreamed. And shared his dream. And they, verse 19, said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." You see the envy? The envy and the mocking. See, they're mocking him. Hey, there's the dreamer, the big dreamer. The dreamer's coming. They're mocking him. That's the way they did our Lord. Oh, there's the king coming. There's the man that claims he's God. He's equal with God. There he is. Here he comes up the hill, bearing his cross, despising the shame. But he came. So here they are, they're despising him and despising him more because of his life, because of his spiritual life, because of his dreams. This dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. They're going to lie. They said we can kill him. We can lie about what happened to him. And that's exactly what they did to our Lord. When he rose the third day, they lied, tried to conspire to lie. Say somebody came and took his body away, something else, you know. And they said, then let's see what comes of his dreams. Let's see what comes of his dreams when he's dead. Let's see if he can be king and savior if we kill him. Let's see if all that love he's preaching holds up if we crucify him. Let us slay him and cast him into some pit. They didn't care which. Some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Thank God for Reuben. You know, Reuben, if I'm not mistaken, was the firstborn. He is got a lot of responsibility on his shoulder. He heard the dreams. The same as the other ones. But he's not going to let his brothers kill the baby brother. Somebody's got to have some spiritual sense on their head. If Reuben hadn't have stepped in, who would have stepped in? So Reuben, when he heard it, delivered him. Delivered him. They were going to do this. I think of situations that God's people get in sometimes, and we don't realize just how urgent the situation is, how dire it may be, that our very life, that we're fixing to be in a greater situation than we could ever realize, and God delivers us. Now, I don't know what this did for Joseph. But I know what it would have done for me if I was Joseph and Reuben saved my life out of there. I would have thought highly of Reuben. And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And look at that real close. Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood." And they're really wanting him. They're really wanting Joseph. He says, "But cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him." He didn't want him injured laying down in there. "That he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." He wanted to make it like he was allowing them to seem like get some of their frustration as to throw him in a pit, leave him there. But Reuben was going to get him out and make sure he got back to his father's house. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." Now, there's a lot of significance here. There's a great message in that right there. "And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, 'What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.' And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes." The weakness of Reuben in this situation cost him his brother's life to be sold into slavery. His weakness. He should have never allowed him to be thrown in that pit. not even to appease his brethren, not for a minute, not for a second. So there, Reuben's plan is out of his hands now. It's bigger than he even knows what it is. And he returned to his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the blood, the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." You see, it's like they're not wanting to lie to him. Is this Joseph's coat, Dad? Yeah, that's his coat. He knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces," and they ain't saying nothing. They're letting him believe the lie that they presented. Even though they didn't say anything, they set the stage by killing that little kid, goat, and getting the blood and putting it all over his coat of many colors and then taking it to his father, knowing they were in the wilderness, knowing Joseph had been traveling by himself, and said, "We found this. Is this your son's?" And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Look at the situation now that Jacob's in. Jacob is in a mourning, repentful state. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. You talk about brokenhearted. All because of the hate of his sons toward his little son Joseph. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So now Joseph is way off down in Egypt. In this situation. But for a purpose. And he makes one of the greatest statements, and we'll get to that. Joseph's going to go through a lot of things. His life is a great picture of Christ, but it's also a great picture of the Christian life. Going through one step, one phase after another, but minding how he goes through each phase. Accepting God's will for where he is at. And I'm here, and I need to serve God while I'm here. I need to trust God. I need to pray to the Lord while I'm here. We don't never need to be like a child, you know, a child that, you know, they don't get the cookie, and their world is just, oh, have you ever seen one go that way? I mean, there's no consoling them. You can't tell them nothing. Their world is upside down. We don't ever need to be that way as God's people. and look, sitting in that pit, you'd have thought that was a bad situation to be in. My brothers was about to kill me. He's fixing to get into even worse situations. Greater situations. And he's going to look back and think, sitting in that pit, nothing wrong with me. That wasn't as bad as what I thought it was. Wasn't as bad as what I thought it was. But it's all for a purpose. Everything we go through in life, we go through it for a purpose. We as God's people need to see that we're in it for a purpose. How we respond. And I know this has been preached on and many a time. And I hope there's some things in here that we can see that'll be a help to us. I'm glad that Joseph didn't allow the hate that was in his brothers' hearts to get in his heart for them. Could you imagine the hate that he could have severed back to them when they got without food? Because things changed on Joseph's behalf. Boy, you talk about payback. I mean, he could have burnt the earth up with them. But he didn't let their hate enter his heart. We cannot let what others do or what they inflict or want to inflict upon us become our guiding star or become the oar in our boat, you know, the thing that steers us. Some people will let that anger that came from others be the thing that drives their engine. And that's no place for a Christian to get in. It's never a good place to be. Pain, using pain against pain, anger against anger. Love is what guides the child of God. Love. God's love. Pure love. Forgiving love. Forgiving love. Joseph found himself at the end of this journey sold for 20 pieces of silver. That's like the betrayal of, you know, Judas getting paid 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ. Here they have sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and he was brought into Egypt. But listen, God allowed it, whether he realized, he thought he needed to be there, even wanted to be there. He was there and he was going to be used of God greatly there. And you can miss that. You can miss the opportunity that God had for you. I thought about Paul. If it had been me, I'd have been spent all my time, Brother Ronnie. God, I don't understand why I'm in this jail. Why am I, of all people, spending all my Christian time, all my Christian life, just about in jail? God, I do what you ask, and I get beat, I get hit, I get whipped. He never complained. Never complained. He testified. I'm glad he testified to let us know. If he had not testified of what he endured, and through every bit of it, he said, "The Lord was with me." The Lord stood with me. Sometimes we can miss. I mean, keep dreaming, Joseph. Joseph's going to keep dreaming. We'll get into that maybe Sunday night or Wednesday, next Wednesday. Joseph's going to keep dreaming. He didn't let this quench his dreams. He held on to his dreams and he kept dreaming. Kept dreaming. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to keep dreaming what God wants us to dream. I'm talking to you spiritually. Keep that in your heart and in your mind that God gives to you, and don't let it go. Regardless of the situation that you're in. Because he is going to bring about his purpose in your life and in my life. He will do it. He will do it if we allow him to accomplish it. God forbid that I hinder his hand in my life. I don't want to hinder the hand of God in my life.